Fans, Miscellaneous Ramblings, episode 181. I said hey, hey, hey differently that time than I have pretty much every other time I've done this podcast. Maybe I could do it. Hold on. Hey, 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 welcome back to Dance Miscellaneous Ramblings. No, that was bad. No, I got this. I can improve.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Dan's Miscellaneous Ramblings. Yeah.
No, that's still wrong.
Hey, welcome back to Dan's Miscellaneous.
No,
Hey, 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 welcome back to Dan's Miscellaneous Ramblings.
All right, now this sounds like it's a mattress store ad or something. Whatever. Apparently, you just can't beat the classics. So, hey, if I can actually say the classics. Hey, 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 welcome back to Dan's Miscellaneous Ramblings, episode 181. And this episode's going to be on ballpoint pens, okay? Now, a ballpoint pen, if you don't know, of course, let's start with a pen. A pen is a writing instrument that lays ink on a page, okay? It's very simple. A ballpoint pen is a specific type of this, also known as a biro in British English, or a ball pen in Philippine English. It's a pen that dispenses ink over a metal ball at its point, which is why it's called a ball point. It's called a ball point because it's got a ball at its point. That's what it's called, a ball. Anyway, the metal commonly used is steel, brass, or tungsten carbide. The design was conceived and developed as a cleaner and more reliable alternative to dip pens, also known as pens where you have to dip it in something. You dip it in ink, that's what you do. And fountain pens, which have a metal nib, which applies a water-based ink to paper, so it has an internal reservoir to hold the ink. It's now the world's most used writing instrument, even over pencils. It has influenced art and graphic design and spawned an artwork genre. Ballpoint pen artwork. That would be it. Some pen manufacturers produce designer ones for the high-end market, because, you know, that's what we do. We like to have fun here. The ballpoint pen was... the concept of it was within a writing instrument as a method of applying ink to paper has existed since the late 19th century. In these inventions, the ink was placed in a thin tube whose end was blocked by the tiny ball, held so that it could not slip into the tube or fall out of the pen. The first patent for it, though, was issued on October 30th, 1888, to John J. Loud, who attempted to make a writing instrument that would be able to write, quote, on rough surfaces such as wood, coarse red wrapping paper, and other articles, which fountain pens could not. Loud's pen had a rotating steel ball held in place by a socket. Although it could be used to mark rough surfaces such as leather, as Loud intended, it proved to be too coarse for letter writing. With no commercial viability, the potential went unexploited, and the patent eventually lapsed. The manufacture of economical, reliable ballpoint pens as are known today, arose from experimentation, modern chemistry, and precision manufacturing capabilities of the earliest 20th century. Patents filed worldwide during early developments are testaments to failed attempts at making the pens commercially viable and widely available. Early ballpoints did not deliver the ink evenly. Overflow and clogging were among the obstacles inventors faced towards developing reliable ones. If it was too tight, or if the ink was too thick, it wouldn't reach the paper. And if it was too loose or the ink too thin, it would leak or the ink would smear. Ink reservoirs pressurized by piston spring capillary action, which if you don't know, capillary action is the thing that makes water go up a tube. Or, you know, there's other things that it does as well with like mercury and stuff, but it's fine. But it allows a liquid in a narrow space to flow without the assistance of or even in opposition to external forces like gravity. So if when you have a piece of like toilet paper and you like slightly dip it into the toilet bowl, like you've done that when you were a kid, right? I know I've done that. And the water sort of climbs up the toilet paper. That's capillary action. Or like when you have a test tube, like a test tube or a graduated cylinder or whatever, and you got the meniscus, you know, that little curved part, that's because of capillary action. And mercury does it in the opposite way. How, you know, how the meniscus, the little curved part of that, of the cylinder when you have the water in it, how it curves downward. Well, on mercury, it curves upward, which is why the thermometers, the old mercury thermometers, look like that, why they have the curved top, because it actually flows away from the glass, which I just think is very interesting. And gravity would all serve as solutions to ink delivery and flow problems. Laszlo Biro, a Hungarian newspaper editor, later naturalized Argentine, frustrated by the amount of time that he wasted filling up fountain pens and cleaning up smudged pages, noticed that inks used in newspaper printing dried quickly, leaving the paper dry and smudge-free. He wanted to make a pen using the same type of ink. He enlisted the help of his brother Georgi, spelled G-Y-O with an umlaut, R-G-Y, a dentist with a useful knowledge of chemistry, to develop viscous ink formula for new ballpoint designs. All right. Don't ask me why this is actually so complex. I didn't realize there was so much in ballpoint pens. I'm going to be real. I made this episode, the ballpoint pen episode, because I made up a ballpoint pen joke in my head, and I'm really proud of it. And I'm actually just going to tell it now. We're going to take a small break from just reading off Wikipedia, because that's what we do around here, so I can tell my wonderful joke. All right. So I actually invented the ballpoint pen, and I was showing it to my friend. He was a little skeptical, though. He said, well, it looks great on paper, but... And yeah, that's it. I was pretty proud of it. I'm going to be real. It was just sort of popped in my head when I was at work, and it, I don't know, inspired this episode. And I'm kind of glad it did, because I'm learning a lot about ballpoint pens. I didn't realize there was so much to them. I was like, oh, it's just a pen with a ball at its point. But no. I mean, yes, it is, but no. All right, where was I? Biro's innovation successfully coupled ink viscosity with a ball socket mechanism, which acted compatibly to prevent ink from drying inside while allowing controlled flow. He filed a British patent on June 15th of 1938. In 1941, the Biro brothers and a friend, Juan Jorge Main, fled Germany and moved to Argentina, where they formed the Biro Pens of Argentina and filed a new patent in 1943. The pen was sold in Argentina as the Birome, from the names Biro and Main, which is how the ballpoint pens are still known in that country. That's why they're called Biros. The new design was licensed by British engineer Frederick George Miles and manufactured by his company Miles Biro, Miles Aircraft, which was used by the Royal Air Force aircrew known as the Biro. Wow, apparently Biro really got its name everywhere, huh? Ballpoint pens were found to be more versatile than fountain pens, especially at high altitudes, where fountain pens were prone to leak. So, hey, that's neat. You can use it in a plane. Biro's patent and other early patents on ballpoint pens often used the term ballpoint fountain pen. Following World War II, of course, many companies V-I-E-D. I'm looking up the definition. Hold on. Not definition. It's Vide. Okay. I swear I'm good in English. Other companies, Vide. I was like, something's wrong. It's not Vide, is it? Yeah, it's Vide. Okay. Money companies vied to commercially produce their own ballpoint pen design. In pre-war Argentina, the success of the Birome ballpoint was limited, but in 1945, the Eversharp Company, a maker of mechanical pencils, teamed up with Eberhard Faber Company to license the rights from Birome for sales in the United States. And okay, there's some more stuff about France, but honestly, we don't need to hear about France because this isn't a French podcast. I am a proud, I'm at least an American. I'm not going to go as far to say proud, but I'm definitely an American. And we do not tell, actually, no, we kind of tolerate French France just because, I don't know, there's some good pastries and stuff. So, yeah, well, okay, we'll let it pass. Fine. The French language, I have no tolerance for. Very little tolerance for, I guess. I guess I have a small amount of tolerance, but you can't say 420s to mean 80. That's just not right. It's just not right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, entirety of France. I got nothing. Ballpoint pen ink is normally a paste containing 25 to 40% dye. The dyes are suspended in a mixture of solvents and fatty acids. The most common of these are benzyl alcohol or phenoxyethanol. Phenoxyethanol. Jeez, that's why is every chemical just so fun to pronounce? Which mix with the dyes and oil to create a smooth paste that dries quickly. The fatty acids help lubricate the ball while writing. Hybrid inks also contain added lubricants to provide a smoother writing experience. The drying time of the ink varies upon the viscosity of the ink and the diameter of the ball. In general, the more viscous the ink, the faster it'll dry, but the more writing pressure needs to be applied to dispense the ink. Although they're less viscous, hybrid inks have a faster drying time compared to normal ballpoint inks. Also, a larger ball dispenses more ink and thus increases the drying time because, you know, it's thicker. That is, in fact, how that works. I'm glad that I could enlighten you in this experience that putting more ink makes it harder to dry because there's more of it. You had no idea before, so I'm glad that I could help. Aren't you all just so glad? If you're so glad, go to my Discord right now. The link is in the description. And tell me how wonderful my ballpoint pen tips are. If you don't, then I'm literally going to probably not do anything. But I'll think, I probably won't even think about you because I won't know if you haven't done it. But just, this is my disappointment cast upon you if you do not. Oh, wait, no, I have a disappointment button. This is me casting my disappointment upon you. I know it sounds cheery, but I promise you it's disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm like a mother or something. Anyway. The dyes used in blue and black ballpoint ends are basic dyes based on... Oh, great, it's another chemical. Ugh. Triaryl methane. Triaryl methane? I'm losing my mind. Triaryl methane and acid dyes derived from diazo compounds or phthalocyanine. Common dyes in blue and black ink are Prussian blue, Victoria blue, methyl violet, crystal violet, and phthalocyanine blue. Dye eosin is commonly used for red ink. The inks are resistant to water after drying, but can be defaced by certain solvents, including acetone and various alcohols. So, if you're trying to mess up someone's pen ink, pour some acetone on there. Is acetone something that, like, you can commercial yet? Let me look it up. Acetone. Nail polish remover. Oh, yeah. So, it's really, really easy to get, it looks like. This thing is, yeah, just literally less than $10 for an entire bottle of 16 fluid ounces of pure acetone. Yeah, okay, so that is easy to obtain. So let's go ruin some writing together, shall we? I think that's a really fun idea. Maybe find some sort of important legal document and then just, psh, you don't like your name on your birth certificate? Psh, you don't. Oh, God. Don't mess up any legal documents, please. Okay. There's, of course, types of ballpoint pens, but unfortunately, I'm not going to get to that right now because even though there's a lot more to cover, just like there always is, you're going to have to look it up for yourself because it's time for the song that's been in my mind all episode. And today's song that's been in my mind all episode is going to be the wonderful song known as Classic by MKTO. Oh my God. It's a good song. What can I say? It came out like late 2000s, I think. I don't know. but it's a good song. Anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful day. I'll catch you all next time, and goodbye.